WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Possible charges in the Rust movie set shooting could come this morning. Prosecutors in New Mexico are expected to say whether actor Alec Baldwin or someone else is criminally responsible for the killing of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. She died after a prop gun loaded with a live round went off.
There's no evidence that this was intentional. This was clearly an accident, but perhaps a criminal accident.
District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwees. A looming deadline over the $31 trillion debt ceiling.
The Treasury Secretary has warned that the United States will hit its debt limit today. This is the amount of money that the U.S. is able to borrow. And all of this really intensifying a political battle between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans say they will not raise the debt limit until the president agrees to spending cut. The White House says it needs to be done with no conditions around it.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. President Biden will tour California storm damage and recovery efforts today. The deaths of at least 20 people are blamed on the storms. This is ABC News. The Department of Justice is opening an investigation after a 29-year-old man died just days after a traffic stop earlier this month in Memphis. Tyreen Nichols ended up in the hospital in critical condition after a confrontation with police. There's more from ABC's Steve Osunsami.
The family asking what type of confrontation could have led to these type of injuries. They say he was barely recognizable. His family says his heart stopped and his kidneys failed. Memphis police say they will share the video of what happened after their own internal investigation is complete. They plan to, they say, work with federal investigators who are looking into this. They also say they will be meeting with the family's attorney in the next coming days.
Nichols' family also is demanding the release of police body camera video. New Zealand's prime minister is stepping down. Jacinda Ardern says she'll resign in early February after 5.5 years in office. New warnings about alcohol. New guidelines from Canadian health officials say no amount of alcohol is safe. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The embattled vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he has no plans to step down. Bob Spindell tells Channel 27 in Madison there's nothing wrong with praising Republican efforts in Milwaukee, which led to a drop in turnout among Black and Hispanic voters. The commission oversees elections in Wisconsin. Spindell was also one of the fake Trump electors. Democratic state senators yesterday called for Spindell to resign or be removed from the commission. Changes are coming to Culver's. The Wisconsin-based burger chain is trading Pepsi for Coke. A Culver's spokesperson says it will take some time to make the switch. There are 800 Culver's in 26 states. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are staying put. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney for the state of Wisconsin, appointed by then President Barack Obama. He's now into his own law practice, and he's also a colleague here at Civic Media Radio. So I'm really happy to have him on the air. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Curtis, thank you for holding on. Thank you for waiting. You say what?
I say thank you, Jim, for being on the show. It's awesome. You guys are both really great today. I just want to say one thing. CJ is like listening to Rush Limbaugh, one side at all. But as far as going to what you're talking about, the unions, my mom used to work at Babcock Wilcox years ago in 1989, and because of Reaganomics, left of the steel union. But isn't that crazy that France is doing the same thing, coming together? Because I'm going to tell you, unions don't come together, they fall apart. But as far as going back, as far as what you were saying earlier, we the people are the government, like Tom always says from California. So every time they keep on saying stuff about the government and stuff like that, it's basically we are the government still, unless they privatized it, right?
Say this, we can say we are the government, and yeah, we do play a role in what happens in government. But I was asking Jim many times during the break about the complexities of government. And we the people don't understand the complexities. Yes, we can vote for elected officials and people who we want in this representative government to represent us. But the complexities of government are so vast. I was telling Jim earlier during the break that, yeah, I remember going to a small claims court once. And I thought that, man, I had common sense on my side, right? And somebody mm-hmm. said, you don't need an attorney because it's a small claims court. The other guy had an attorney. I had common sense on my side, and I was standing erect, and I just knew I'm going to blow this out of the water. I've got truth on my side. And then the way law is configured, common sense mm-hmm. and truth. Sorry about that, Jim. Don't come into play.
I'm very pleased to say that one of the things I provide some pro bono service to in the Eviction Defense Project of Legal Action Wisconsin, representing people who are being evicted in small claims courts. So I know exactly the forum in which you formerly were. And, you know, again, most people there are not represented. And I will tell you, it is not intuitive. And yes, I'd like to think that common sense, the substance in the end, which is your point, right, Earl, wins out. And I'd like to think most often it does, but not before you get through an awful lot of process. You've got a summons and a complaint, and you've got discovery, and you've got evidence rules. And in order to get that common sense there, you need to understand more about how that process works. And that's the reason why, again, this is not an advocacy for lawyers out there, or for a lawyer employment plan. That's why having some legal counsel, even in that setting, with respect to the governmental operation of the courts, is so important. And so that your interests, the interests of people, whether it's housing, again, academics, commercial things, can be, you can drive through all of the legal stuff and get to the core of the issues.
Well, so here's another prime example. President Biden. And these documents,
yes,
former President Donald Trump and his documents, you hear people say, especially on the right, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you guys went after President Trump, and you should be going after President Biden. Right. It's the exact same thing.
And it is not. And it's a perfect example, Earl, of what you've been preaching all morning and in other times on your terrific show here, which is life is complex, right?
Right.
And if we're going to have these discussions, yes, we can have wonderful discussions like this morning with people like Curtis and others. If you're going to play in the field, you need to have a little bit more understanding. And you do, and Curtis does, and others do. And this is a perfect example of it. I heard just two nights ago, and this is not new, one of our members of Congress, a member of, again, the majority now in the House of Representatives, saying exactly, Earl, what you just said. That you advocate for this, but he said, well, gee, the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland searched Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Why is the Department of Justice not searching the president's home in Wilmington, Delaware? And the answer is exactly what you just said, which is hugely different circumstances, hugely different. Not only in terms of the process that led up, a year-long process where the requests of the former president to return the documents from the National Archives led a request to the attorneys, followed by a grand jury subpoena that was also not complied with, followed by a search that was granted by a federal magistrate judge upon what? And here's the key, upon a finding of probable cause that there is a crime here and that you'll find evidence of that crime. Huge amount of process to get to that point. What do you have here on the side of Joe Biden? You've got a discovery probably back in early November of a few documents. And what do they do? Fairly immediately, wasn't part of the public domain initially, they turn right around in days and said, look what we've got. Turn those over to NARA, turn those documents over to the Department of Justice. Have they had more discoveries just in recent weekends? Turn them right around. And the question is to the congressman who asked this question, what is your probable cause now to believe that at the Wilmington, Delaware place, or at this Penn Biden location in Washington, D.C., the office, that there's evidence of crime to this day? And the answer is, at least in the public domain, and probably in the Department of Justice, there is none. That's one of the huge differences in this. And it also goes, as we've spoken in the past, about intent, right? If I come to you and say, you know what, Earl, you've got all these documents, turn them over, and for a year, almost a year, you hand them out in kind of a slow drip and drip, that shows me you're not serious. You have intent not to disclose them. Here, just the opposite. Within weeks, days sometimes, of discovering them, the answer is not only you don't have to request them, I'm going to voluntarily turn them over to you, and that shows I do not have any intent to violate the law, which requires that I do not have these documents in place. Huge numbers of differences in terms of timing, the process, the number of documents. We don't know also exactly what the nature of the documents are. We know in the Trump side of things, there are at least 100 of these that are specifically identified as classified, some of them very serious. Yes, some of those small numbers of Biden documents also have those classifications. We don't know the extent to which that classification is about, for example, North Korea and nuclear power, or a rule of law initiative to establish courts in South Africa, for example. Those are different kinds of things, right? Lots of things that are wildly different. Goes to your point, again, if we're having this discussion in Congress, on this wonderful show, in the public domain, it behooves all of us. We are required to get a better sense of what searches are about, what grand jury subpoenas are about, what decisions are made, how decisions are made by prosecutors about intent, all of that, which again is accessible. And it may not be perfectly common sense, but it's the kind of thing that we should be discussing in these public domains.
You know, you used the term process several times. And so we don't understand the importance of what process is.
Right.
what do you break it down to where
sure,
we can understand
absolutely.
Why that's
right.
so critically important
absolutely.
Component of this?
It's all over our Constitution, right? The Fifth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, you know, due process of law. It's out there. It's a fundamental notion. And the idea is that before we deprive you, before we affect your rights in America, whether it has to be in small claims court, whether it has to do with a criminal prosecution, even a civil matter, in a court, you get notice, right? If Earl, you're going to sue me, you've got an obligation to give me a document to let me know the basis for your suit, right? And tell me what I've done wrong. So I've got a chance maybe to remedy it. That's process. I've got an obligation, the courts do, to call me in and say, okay, Jim, what do you say about what Earl's claiming here? That's process to an opportunity to be heard, right? I can write things out. I can tell the judge things. I can tell my government, my aldermen, my alderwomen. I can tell my representatives in Madison, in Washington, D.C. That, too, is a process that goes forward, that ensures that my voice is heard, that the voices of people who disagree with me, including at least one of your callers this morning, that his voice is also heard. And that also is America. It's true in the courts. It's true in legislatures. It's true in the executive branch. It's true in OSHA, which began our conversation a little more an hour or so ago. That again, even Amazon has a right to contest what OSHA has done, and they've got some days in which to come back and say, we do or do not agree with this, we're going to remedy it. That's the process that we contemplate. The difference, which you hinted about, Earl, earlier on, is in a country where we do not have that process, that due process point, you simply have decision makers who are autocrats who say, Jim, don't do this. We're going to go in. We're going to take these things from you. We're going to restrict your employment, your access to health care. We're simply going to do it, and you do not have a voice. That's the difference.
So there is no simplicity.
There is not
in these things, and that's why, you know, that there's so many attorneys in right, so many right. different levels of right. law. Is it safe to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are many areas, and I say this all the time, both on the air and off, people will very kindly and thoughtfully call me up and say, Jim, can you help me with this? And I will say to them, you know what? I know about a very narrow area of the law. I like to think, with 30 years of government experience inside the Department of Justice, I know about many things, including the federal government. Many, many things I know nothing about. And so expertise in many areas, that's why there are securities lawyers, and that's why there are corporate lawyers, and again, real estate lawyers and tax lawyers, all kinds of expertise, just like a medical doctor. You would not go, if I've got a foot problem, I would not go necessarily to my eye doctor, right? Same kind of thing. And that's also a reflection of the complexity that is in our regular lives, right? It's also true about government, and it's not simple. But again, to your good point, if we have these important discussions, we don't have to know every last thing. But in order to understand whether it's the classified documents cases or labor policy that Chris was talking or Curtis was talking about, unions, an obligation to do a little bit of self-education, which you do, I like to think that I do as well, before we are out there having the debate. And we can all debate, but it needs to be informed.
All right, got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Be right back.
Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. High of 34 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance of snow. North winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 24 tonight, chance for snow showers. 28 tomorrow, cloudy. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number again. My guest is James Santeel. I certainly did not plan to have him hanging around this long. He's a busy man. I'm glad he's decided to hang around.
God, Earl, I'm delighted to be with you.
And I'm glad he's here. Let's go to Rico from Rock County. Good morning to you, Rico. You say what? Rico, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, enjoying your show today, as always, Earl.
Well,
and
thank
I'm glad you got James. Glad you got James on there too.
Yes, sir.
As long as we're talking about, you know, government and we the people and in law, and this goes a little deeper to something I've called in Jim's show a couple weeks ago. I was just wondering, now, we have an organization here in Wisconsin, goes by the name of WILL, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Yeah.
They seem to only want to take, they only want to take up issues on one side of the table, it seems, though. And I'm wondering, do we the people have an organization maybe that would be interested in taking up? It seems to me like there would be an intent to disenfranchise through fraud we the people and the citizens of Wisconsin on this false electors situation. And I wonder if Jim could address that. I mean, is there a collective group of lawyers that maybe would be interested in taking on this whole situation? And I'll hang up and take my answer off air.
Hey Rico, sure. It's a good question, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call.
Right. And so, Rico, again, good points here about things very much in the news. Again, all listeners appreciate the fact that this is the false electors part of this scheme to undermine.
That Ron Johnson didn't know
right,
about.
Right. And may have had some role in trying at least to deliver some of the results from Wisconsin, maybe another state, up to the vice president on January 6th. Much, much larger conspiracy, we now know, in the wake of the January 6th commission, the committee report, but also also investigation going on by the Department of Justice, including Rico, as you know, and Earl, you know as well. The Department of Justice is looking at whether or not these false electors did indeed violate federal law in putting together false statements representing from Wisconsin and about six other states who they are, what they're doing, and sending these off to, again, to the not only the Congress of the United States of America, the Vice President, in the attempt to undermine the election. So that may well be one of the significant remedies here for those people who are responsible for putting that scheme together to undermine by making false statements, misrepresenting who they are, what their authority is. And we in Wisconsin are among those states that I would maintain were almost victimized by those people. So I have been on the air in the past advocating strongly that there needs to be some remedy for that here in Wisconsin and throughout the nation, so that we, again, to use the word we chatted about before, Earl, we are deterring anyone who might think about doing that in the future from doing it again. Now, the Congress has passed a revision to the Electoral Count Act that is going to kind of wrap up and make that much more difficult to do in the future, certification by a governor that these are, in fact, the true electors. But again, to Rico's good point, there can and there should be, when there are those kinds of things, government can play a role. Attorneys general can play a role in enforcing the interests of the people. An attorney general of the United States of America can, and a U.S. attorney can play that role, as can, to Rico's point, private attorneys. And yes, Will does an awful lot of that on the so-called conservative side of the ledger. There are attorneys out there that may not be known quite as much, but who advocate on the opposite side, who advocate for ensuring that our electoral process is open and free. A lot of that happens right before an election. Everything we did recently involving balloting, for example, even going back a few years, remember all of the discussion you talked about it a lot on the air, Earl, about IDs, right? Voter IDs, right? Litigation done by private attorneys, by public attorneys, about what should be the requirements when I go in to vote. That was done by, again, a combination, a consortium of private interests, public interests. More recently, we've got these issues about ballot boxes, right, and dropping ballots off and whether I can do that. That, too, litigated feverishly on both sides. Judges then decide that, sometimes not always favorably from my perspective, but that's, again, our process.
Early voting, right?
Yeah. Absentee voting, all those kinds of things. The rules can be made by the legislature, can be interpreted by judges, but lawyers and private citizens, by virtue of their advocacy, not only through those lawyers, but in and of themselves, letting their views be known to those groups, to the legislators, they have an impact. And if there are enough people pushing back on restrictions on early voting, restrictions on access to the polls, those things can have an impact upon government. And government, I like to think, representing the people will change and follow what the population will really want.
You know, Jim, I want to, as a U.S. attorney, you dealt with crime.
Yes.
And we constantly hear people talking about crime. But, well, before I change the subject, we've got callers who want to probably weigh in on what you just got to talking about. So I hold my thoughts about changing that subject after the break. Bill, Karina, hang on. We'll come right back to you after the break. Got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Possible charges in the Rust movie set shooting could come this morning. Prosecutors in New Mexico are expected to say whether actor Alec Baldwin or someone else is criminally responsible for the killing of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. She died after a prop gun loaded with a live round went off.
There's no evidence that this was intentional. This was clearly an accident, but perhaps a criminal accident.
District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwees. A looming deadline over the $31 trillion debt ceiling.
The Treasury Secretary has warned that the United States will hit its debt limit today. This is the amount of money that the U.S. is able to borrow, and all of this really intensifying a political battle between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans say they will not raise the debt limit until the president agrees to spending cut. The White House says it needs to be done with no conditions around it.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. President Biden will tour California storm damage and recovery efforts today. The deaths of at least 20 people are blamed on the storms. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The embattled vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he has no plans to step down. Bob Spindell tells Channel 27 in Madison there's nothing wrong with praising Republican efforts in Milwaukee, which led to a drop in turnout among Black and Hispanic voters. The commission oversees elections in Wisconsin. Spindell was also one of the fake Trump electors. Democratic state senators yesterday called for Spindell to resign or be removed from the commission. Changes are coming to Culver's. The Wisconsin-based burger chain is trading Pepsi for Coke. A Culver's spokesperson says it will take some time to make the switch. There are 800 Culver's in 26 states. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are staying put. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santille, former United States Attorney appointed by then-President Barack Obama for the state of Wisconsin, eastern portion of the state of Wisconsin. And again, good morning to 97.9 FM WGBD Green Bay and 98.3 FM WISS Oshkosh. Thank you for taking the time out to listen and call in. Sometimes we'll put you ahead of the curve. Let's go to Bill Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing? What do you say?
Good morning, Earl. Great show, as always. Boy, you guys just keep raising the bar higher in quality and educating people. I'd like to address this question to James. We just had an incident out where I live, Aurora Summit. The doctor, they want to sue Aurora Summit because the doctor refused to prescribe ivermectin. Now, we all know the ivermectin crowd, and we kind of know the background of that. Doesn't that cross the line of what they call negligent homicide? Because I'm under the belief that negligent homicide, it would be when you willingly and knowingly put somebody in harm's way that causes either permanent dismemberment or permanent disability or death, you're guilty of it. What can you give me your thoughts? I'll hang up.
Sure, sure. I haven't heard this story specifically, Bill, but it sounds as if what you're describing is, I assume, a civil lawsuit trying to compel a doctor, which is problematic from the very start, right, to substitute the views of someone else, presumably a non-doctor, over the doctor, compel him to prescribe, to administer to a patient ivermectin, right? And it sounds like that's what you're responding to. Again, I always say that, you know, that our courts in America, our state courts, our federal courts are open, and I can go and I can file any lawsuit I want. In 10 minutes, I can pay the fee, and I can get that underway. People often ask, can I sue for that? The answer is, yeah, practically I can go in. The question is, and that's what this particular situation underscores, is there any merit to this? Is there any judge in the state of Wisconsin, in the federal system, in federal courts, who's going to look at this and say, number one, we have got a medicine that not only the federal government, the CDC and others have said plainly, it's a horse medicine, right? It's not effective. And beyond that, we're going to substitute the decision-making of a judge over that of the professional decision-making of a medical provider and compel that person to engage, Bill, in what you just said, which is probably putting that person's life into jeopardy? The answer is no. And whether you'd like to think that after a process, again, that follows the filing of that frankly frivolous lawsuit, there's no merit to that a judge or a jury, if it gets that far, it shouldn't get that far, would say, you know what, we're dismissing this. And then we're also going to impose some penalties actually for bringing this lawsuit in the first place. You'd like to think that the reason for that kind of a lawsuit is, in the end, and I think this goes to what I think is implicit in your point, Bill, people who brought that lawsuit have got to know that is ridiculous. It's frivolous and it's not going anywhere. It's simply so that this continuing notion out there that somehow ivermectin or these other things that we know are not good for you, that are not cures for COVID in all of its variants, that theory, that crazy theory, still continues to have life. And it's regrettable that people continue to use now the court system, if you will, to try to advance something in the public. They're going to lose in the state court, federal court, and so they're simply trying to, again, advance that in the public domain, where likewise it has lost and just needs to be put to its death.
So we're going to rename it Just Ask Your Lawyer.
All right. There we go.
Anyway,
all right.
Let's go to Karina. Hey, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Good call, Bill.
Yeah. Hi, Karina. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, gentlemen. Well, I have two questions, actually. The first question, it's kind of strange, and I don't really understand, and I was thinking maybe you guys can explain it, because why all of a sudden we're looking at the Biden and documents he had? I mean, are we asking everybody who ever touched archive or ever had a deal with or dealing with those kind of documents where they are? I mean, why we're not asking them everybody? Why all of a sudden we're asking Biden where the documents are? That and the budgeting, I also don't get it. I mean, a country is like a big household, right? So if I'm short on my mortgage, if I am didn't make a payment on my mortgage, right? So why would I give my money for my mortgage payment to my neighbor in need if I am going to stay on the street? This is exactly what we're doing with the Ukraine. We're giving up money outside of the country. We're inside of the country. We're saying, oh, we're not going to pay for Medicare and Medicaid. So people who are disabled and old are going to do what? Go on the street? So that's pretty much my two questions.
Great.
Corinne, thank you very much for the call. Ask your lawyer.
All right, here we go. All right, Corinne, some great points there. Discreet points, but great points. Let me see if I can address them fairly briefly. But that's not to indicate that they're not substantively right on target. One is you know our nation. I was overseas in Iraq for about 2 years, 2006, 2008, working with the rule of law principles there, with the judges, courts, police, and on a daily basis, I had access to and was provided and actually created some classified documents. We have, I would say, probably millions of classified documents out there in our government and all sorts of entities. And the point of, and maybe this is a generalized answer to your question, everybody who has access to documents, whether you are the president of the United States of America, a former president, or I am an analyst, in the bowels of some agency somewhere, whether it's in Iraq or here in the United States of America or anywhere around the world, has obligations to handle it in a certain way. When I was given classified information, I had to go into what's called a SCIF, a certain room where it's the only place I could see them. There were all sorts of regulations because we don't want that information to be disseminated into a public domain, right? It's classified for a reason. It goes to our national security. And so the answer, Karina, is that yes, everybody in America, you have to have a classification, you have to be certified, you have to be permitted to get access in the first place. Everybody who has access to those kinds of government documents has got to abide by the rules, whether you are the president or you're Jim Santel as an assistant U.S. attorney in Iraq doing these kinds of things. It really just underscores that no one is above the law. Undeniably, because he is the president right now, special focus on this. There are situations all the time where mistakes are made with government with classified documents. And the question, as I said before, is whether or not there was an intent to disclose it or whether this was simply messy, simply a mistake. And the great majority of investigations, as I suspect the Biden investigation will find, is that there was no intent here to disclose this information. These few documents found in some files, that's typically when investigations are done of compromises in the classified document area. That's most often where the findings come down. There was a mistake made. There was access to them in a situation where it shouldn't have been, and we move on from that. Maybe a slap on the wrist, don't ever do this again, but that's probably where this is going as well. But a very good point made. As to your point about Ukraine, I would take even a broader view, Karina, on your very important point. We can have in this country, as Earl and I are describing at great length this morning, great differences about foreign policy, about the extent to which we should be giving monies not only to Ukraine, but also South Korea and others around our allies around the world. We can say, as you have said, that instead of that, we should be ensuring that our Medicaid and Medicare system, Social Security, education, health, all this is supported here in this country. That's a policy decision. And you know what? You and I, Earl and I, we can disagree on that. And that's a good thing. And I would take the very, very 30,000 view of what you just said, Karina, and say, this is why voting is so very important. Karina, if your view is important, and it is, and it's shared by many, many people in America, you got to get people in Congress. You got to vote for presidents who agree with that and need to refocus perhaps the decisions that are made at budget time, right? Where our monies are going, all of that goes to representative government. It all goes back to voting. You want to change the ways in which our monies are spent in America, you send different kinds of people to Congress. We're having a budget debate right now in Wisconsin about this surplus, right? You want to change that? You can't do it anymore, but in a future election in a couple of years, you vote for different people. Maybe you keep your representatives. If you like them, you change them. If you don't, but all of that has an impact upon finances, and you can get your policy views articulated and advanced by virtue of who is representing you.
So thank you very much for the call, Corinne. You know, I wanted to go quickly, Jim, crime. You,
yes.
And while you were the U.S. attorney, again, for the state of Wisconsin, crime was on the docket, as
absolutely.
It always is.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that fentanyl keeps coming into this country. And somehow behind it has to be organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that anything of that nature
right.
and that reaches that many people. It's similar to what was happening when cocaine was coming into the country.
Right.
Back in the 80s.
Crack, powder, crack, right? Yeah, right. Methamphetamine labs, right? Those kinds of things, right?
That's organized crime when it's to that degree and to that level. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And you know, part of our focus as in the federal system, U.S. Attorney's offices, we address things at that level. The DAs and state's attorneys are the ones who might prosecute the. I don't want to minimize the significance of them, but the smaller trades and purchases that take place in cities around the country. Our focus was always on exactly what you identified, Earl, which is where is this coming from? Where are the huge amounts of drugs, where they're being manufactured? Who is getting them to get them into the streets, into the hands of dealers, that ultimately fentanyl can kill people, as we know well? How does it get at it at the source? And it's organized, it's crime. And again, as you well know, it's about money, right? Because that's where these people, that's where they live and they work and that's how they thrive. And they're using it, they're getting money by virtue of putting these horrific drugs into our system, compromising the health and the safety and security of our communities. And so one of the real focuses that we always had on, again, I know that it's a controversial matter, and is to identify those people at the top and try to identify those folks who again, trickle this, I don't mean to, again, minimize it, but send these drugs into our system in such a way that it has the street impact. Who is starting this process inside and outside our nation?
So let me ask you, because we have CIA that can travel throughout the world and infiltrate nations and find out everything. Mm-hmm. Are they involved with the fentanyl issue and all those?
They can be. And again, this may be a little bit beyond
the FBI?
The FBI has domestic responsibilities. Every so often they do have some tendrils. For example, when I was in Iraq, there was an FBI location there, but those are kind of specialized. You got it just right. The FBI, basically a domestic agency that investigates things in our nation. They will, however, very often do the tracing that we just talked about into a Mexico, into an Eastern or Western Europe, into Africa, into Asia, to figure out where these drugs are coming from. And that is their jurisdiction to do those kinds of things is premised upon their domestic assignment. The CIA, by virtue of its very broad worldwide assignment, will certainly more than bump into those kinds of things. And yes, indeed, one of the things that one of your previous callers talked about was, you know, interagency communication. CIA can share that information with law enforcement under appropriate circumstances without compromising the secrecy of their process and say, you know what, we have come across a huge group of people, I'm just making this up now, Germany, in Ethiopia, in Brazil, who's doing this kind of thing. We think you need to focus on that and make that reference to an FBI and to others who do have jurisdiction to bring those cases through U.S. attorney's offices into our federal courts for prosecution.
So I would think that as... with the tools that we have in you know, the FBI, the CIA, and other entities, and the power that the attorneys can give to those people, that I don't care where it is, when we know this is organized,
right.
That we can track that down.
Let's get at it, right? Exactly, right?
Right.
We should be able to track it down. But
the sheer numbers of people who are dying,
right?
You would think that it would be priority one.
Absolutely. And again, I could not agree with you more when it comes to these things.
Women hear a...
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself. and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mixed precipitation likely, changing to all snow this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 34. Northerly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, 24. Cloudy skies. Cloudy tomorrow, 28. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 34.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Man, I don't know what happened to the time with Jim. But
delighted to be with
I'm
you.
I'm really happy that he's here. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I want to kind of go back to this idiocy that's happening in the House, and particularly to my favorite representative, the guy I certainly would never have voted for, Derek Van Orden. It seems that only the peons who had no political connections whatsoever have been sent to jail, and they've been sent to jail for months to years for breaching the Capitol. Van Orden was clearly shown in video as part of that group, yet nothing has been done, and he's not the only one. There have been people that have been elected, or like Van Orden, have been gerrymandered into Congress, and nothing's being done with them. And these guys should all at least be taken into court for what they did. I mean, at least charges that they should get would be something like illegal entry or something corresponding to that, it would seem to me. So that's my comment.
Sure, Jack. Thank you, Jack. Really, really thoughtful again. Again, a little background on that. Of course, we know that we're now approaching about 1,000 people who have been, Jack, as you noted, been prosecuted for their on-site involvement, breaching the Capitol, everything from seditious conspiracy, that's the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the people who were responsible for the deaths of people on January 6th. We've got about 1,000 of those federal defendants getting sentences of everything from probation to months in home arrest to up to 12, 15 years in prison. So that's happening. Your good point, Jack, is many other people out there have not been the subject of these prosecutions, and I agree with you. This is exactly what Eric Holder, our present Attorney General Merrick Garland, our Deputy Attorney General, is looking at. And I think your frustration about it taking too much time is well placed. It is time now for the Department of Justice to look at those people who, as Liz Cheney said, summoned the mob and lit the match and brought together this conspiracy of people that, yes, you saw most visually among those thousands of people attacking the Capitol. But who organized that? Who put that together? It may also include Donald Trump, people like John Eastman, people like Rudy Giuliani, and other folks out there who brought this all together, put together this plan to undermine me. Those are the folks, I think, Jack, that you're focusing on. I am hoping, and I'm anticipating candidly, that sometime soon, and I mean weeks, if maybe months, but weeks, the Department of Justice, through the special counsel, but especially the Attorney General, will come forth and say, we are issuing now indictments as to those categories of people, Jack, that you've identified, who are really responsible for making this happen, beyond the folks who threw the polls and beat up the law enforcement on that day. That's where it's got to go. That's truly the administration of the rule of law. That is justice not only for us today, but also for history, right? When Jack, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren look back at this and say, what did you do to respond to this? We got the people who put this together. We got put together the conspirators.
So is we really short on time?
Go ahead, Jack.
You know, we've absolutely got to do that. But there are, as I said, there are people in Congress right now who basically did the same thing that a lot of those people who were sentenced did. And yet they aren't even being looked at.
Right. Well, and it may well be that their names are on files. We don't know that yet. We'll wait to see. But I share your concern that maybe their names are. They're certainly the focus of some of the grand jury investigation going on. We will see who the Department of Justice charges and who it does not. Good point, Jack.
Hey Jack, thank you very much for the call. As we're down to a few minutes, so Merrick Garland and the guy who was the Eric Holder.
Eric Holder, yes, right.
So they're different people.
Right.
And they look at things in a different manner. Guidelines are that they can... Guidelines can...
Absolutely. Memorandums, policies are set by attorneys general. Very proud, again, to be... I worked for Janet Reno as well. Very proud to have been a part of her administration. Eric Holder was a deputy at that period of time. Let's get back to drugs for one moment. Very proud of the fact that during Eric Holder's administration, we talked about crack powder and red powder before, and these sentencing disparities that were happening because of... And people being, you know, exposed to huge penalties based upon a difference in the quality, the kind of cocaine that they were distributing. Eric Holder came in and said, you know what, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to basically be out front of something called the Sentencing Commission, change the directives to U.S. attorneys and to assistant U.S. attorneys, and said, you know what, when it comes to sentencing these folks, let's try to even the playing field. We're still going to prosecute, but we're going to do this more fairly. That kind of thing, that in the violent crime area also, civil rights, all kinds of things, civil litigation. Attorneys general can make differences when it comes to environmental enforcement, civil rights laws, voting issues, which we talked about. Education enforcement. Curtis talked before about unions. Department of Justice does antitrust work, all those kinds of things. The policies and the priorities, which is your point, Earl, those can be set by an attorney general, and you better believe that Eric Holder and Merrick Garland have a different set of priorities than do, for example, a Jeff Sessions or a Bill Barr in a previous administration. And why is that important? Where do attorneys general come from? They're appointed by a president. Where does a president come from? Elected by the people. Go out and vote. Change those policies through that process.
You know, Jim, man, I want to say thank you for taking the time out. And we used to do this.
We did. And let's do it again. I'm so pleased to be with you and your callers, your listeners. This is fantastic, Earl.
That's again, my colleague. And let's talk about the times that you're on.
Very good. We will do that and keep going and keep these good conversations. Law enforcement and the rule of law, justice in America, it's not an easy thing, right? Again, I've used the word imperfect a lot this morning. Government is imperfect. We are all, as human beings, imperfect. But nonetheless, that's the aspiration to get better.
So the name of your show and the time.
Yes, right. So the name of my show is Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. We talk about many of these kinds of issues. Try to delve into the background, a little bit more of the major headlines during the course of the week, and we'll do that again Saturday morning.
All right. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. As always, couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Connor. We've got to get out of here and make room for the next up. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. All right.
That's wonderful. Great fun. This is great fun. Oh, my gosh.
it's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.